You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies.
This is AfterBuzz TV's Sherlock After Show.
We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Sherlock After Show.
Hey there, Sherlock fans. You know what time it is. It is time for the Sherlock Season 3 After Show here on AfterBuzz TV.
Yay!
Yeah! So excited. Finally, there's a Sherlock AfterBuzz TV After Show. Finally, there's a Season 3. We waited 2 whole years to see it, and it's finally airing in the U.S., so we're starting to talk about it. I'm Matt Lieberman. Joining me on the panel all season long, fantastic group of ladies. First of all, Miss Yael Teagle on
Hello.
The panel. Megan Salinas.
Hey, guys.
And Marissa Serafini.
What's up, everyone?
Oh, man. So, so excited about this. I personally, I know everyone has different viewing habits. Obviously, the show aired a few weeks ago overseas. I wanted to wait until right before we did this to watch it, so I didn't watch it until today. And I'm still reeling. It's so, it was so funny and so jam-packed. And just so much fun and just great to be back with these characters.
Yeah.
I missed them.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I know everyone wants to know, how did Sherlock survive? But then once we got swept up in it, it didn't matter as much as just like, I'm glad he's back.
Yeah.
Well, even John said, like, I don't care how you came back.
I want to know why. Yeah. So we open, before we get into like formal topics, you know, we open with this, this elaborate,
bungee jump,
like staging of like how he could have possibly survived. And I'm watching this in horror, like, no, this is dumb. Please, no, don't be real. I'm like, oh, no, it's just Anderson's fantasy.
Right.
That makes sense.
You know, that whole story, I was willing to allow it. I was watching going, okay,
yeah.
Sure, why not? And then he kisses Molly. And everyone, because I have a viewing party when I watch shows
of course.
Like this, everyone in my entire apartment went, what? And that's when we knew it wasn't real.
Yeah.
That was the moment.
See, for me, I was making dinner while I was watching it, but I was like, my eyes were like locked onto the screen.
Now I'm worried about your dinner.
Yeah.
It was fine, probably. I did light my apartment on fire, but that's a story for another
day.
That's
irrelevant.
But I just started laughing so hard with the bungee cord because at first I was like, oh, wait. And then my brain kicked in and I was like, wait, no, the gunman who had his, you know, who was pointing at John would have seen him recoil up and
right.
land
and down. like the hypnotist and the resetting of the watch.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he would have realized eventually. What did you think, Marissa?
Well, I did like, and we'll get more into it, how they had the three different explanations of mm-hmm. this. But the first one, I thought bungee jumping, that's not as analytical as Sherlock usually is when he plans his elaborate escapes, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, that seems more adventurous than analytical. And I didn't think that they would start a whole new season with that kind of extravagant type of scene.
Yeah.
I didn't find that believable as the first opening scene.
Yeah. And, you know, well, you know, it wasn't meant to be. It ultimately was a big joke. We got Anderson with his whole group of, like, Sherlock death nerds.
The
Sherlock truthers.
The
Empty Hearst Club with their hats, and they're all so cute.
Yep.
And, like,
they should
gothic
have a mixer with a Linda Lot.
Oh, my God. I loved, like, the gothic girl's accent. I thought she was, like, adorable.
That is Sharon Rooney from My Mad Fat Diary. She is amazing.
Oh, man. I loved her.
She's
great. So, not long after this, right, we kind of meet up with John Watson again. We get a sense of his mental state. And, you know, he's like, he's finally, finally starting to come to terms with what happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's moved on. He's got a life now. He's got a potential wife now. He's got a thick old mustache.
Oh.
He's gone full Watson. You never go full Watson. Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It ages him up, and we like our doctors clean shaven. Doctor Who, anyone? Anyway.
That's true.
Yeah. No doctor with a beard. Not for a while. No, not ever.
No, you think you get a beard and you think the master.
Yeah.
A Time Lord with a beard is an evil Time Lord. That's
exactly
what I've learned.
Or he's been in prison.
Or he's been in prison for a long time. Yeah.
That's
sure.
True.
Or all time has stopped. And, yeah. Regardless,
tangent.
Way off tangent.
That's a tangent.
So, obviously, in order to have Sherlock return, he has to return from somewhere, and he is caught in this like crazy night vision. you know, he's surrounded. And one of the things that I'm so happy is like that I almost forgot how much I love about this show is the style is so distinct,
yes,
and so beautifully visual, and like they're always trying to just keep you on the edge of your seat. Even when something is supposedly boring, you're looking for details.
Yeah, it's fast-paced, and it's very modern. I love all the text on the screen.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you're absolutely right. It's not something where you pull up your computer and you start, like, Facebooking while it's on in the background. No, you pay attention.
You pay attention nonstop.
And it's a reflection of what Sherlock is seeing, because he is a fast thinker, and he just sees every little detail in a matter of milliseconds, and we get into his mind and how he sees things and how he deduces and process things. So I loved how they give the visual aspect so the audience can understand him more.
Yeah.
And what I loved even more is, especially once we get into the restaurant, which we're going to get more into in a second, you see almost like an explosion of information. Instead of like little things, it's just like a cloud of words all at once. Like when he examines Mary,
mm-hmm,
it's like all this information shooting up at you.
Yeah.
You can't absorb it all in 1 second. He can barely absorb it all. And
right,
he's Sherlock Holmes, you know. So, yeah, they've kind of gone a bit bigger and grander with the words on screen.
I feel like
season.
That's what took them 2 years.
That's what is the technology.
Is they were like, ooh, wouldn't it be cool if we showed you this? Okay, it's going to take us 2 years,
yeah,
but we'll make it amazing.
Oh, they'll wait. It's
yeah,
okay.
Exactly. It's what the Wachowskis could have done with the Matrix sequels.
Yes.
Give it a few more years. Give it a few more years. Let's develop the technology.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we've got him. He's being beaten. He's got like gray, like this dank gray wig, like almost out of the fifth Estate, the movie that he did this year. He whispers something to his torturer, and I'm just like gleeful as like he says my wife is cheating on me with the coffin maker next door, and if I leave now I'll catch them at it. I knew it. Like, and I'm just,
and that
like,
makes it totally okay for him to just leave his job.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, as excuses go, it's a pretty good
not
one.
Not a bad one.
Yeah, Chief, I'm sorry. My wife was cheating on me. I could only catch her if I left at this time.
And, right.
Well, he was right, so.
I just got to say, having Benedict Cumberbatch shirtless was 100% a gift to the fans. That was
we made you wait for 2 years. Here's him without a shirt.
The one thing you've been dying to see.
You didn't get enough of it from the season opener last year, or the last season? He was like completely naked, wrapped in a sheet.
I'm sorry.
Oh,
you can never get enough of it.
That was wonderful.
You can never get enough?
No.
Okay.
I'm sure that there are a bunch of Benedict, what are they, Cumber Babes?
Yeah.
I think that's the term.
Is the new one? Because he didn't like the old term.
He really didn't like the old term.
Yeah.
So the Cumber Babes, they will agree with me that this was their gift for waiting.
Okay. Okay.
And that you can never get enough.
I would call the whole episode a gift for waiting. The whole episode was a gift for waiting.
This was the cherry on top.
Okay, fine. Fine. Yeah, wet, emaciated, you know, out in the woods. Okay,
he's
fine.
So
I understand the appeal. Whatever. Fine.
All right.
But,
moving on.
You know, his interrogator turns out, of course, to be none other than Mycroft Holmes.
Shock.
Yeah, shock of the year.
Yeah.
Who learned a whole language in a matter of hours to...
You're getting slow.
Yeah, getting slow. Jeez. I'd never thought of Mycroft as the smarter brother, but that they both referred to it in this episode.
Yeah.
Like, even Sherlock acknowledges it, or at the very least acknowledges that that's what Mycroft believes.
Well, no, he said that that Sherlock used to think he was stupid.
Stupid, until they met other people. Which, like, he calls even further into question after we meet his their parents later in the show. So it's like, why were they so isolated if they have such ordinary parents? I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe they grew up in the country. Maybe there just weren't any other kids around.
Yeah, I guess so. So
but their parents were adorable.
You know who those people were?
Uh-uh.
Those were Benedict Cumberbatch's parents.
Yeah.
They were his actual parents?
Those were his parents.
Oh, my gosh. Who are acting royalty.
Actors. Yeah.
A little bit. Not acting royalty, but they've been around.
They're royal in the actor world.
Yes.
I'll allow it.
In the British...
British acting world.
Yeah.
Those were his parents.
Oh, well, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I had no idea. That's so wonderful.
That's lovely. So he's very, very quickly whisked back to London. And the whiskers are whisked off his face.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I got to go check on John. He's like, and Mycroft is like, well, I mean, he's moved on with his life. He's like, what life?
Aww.
I've been gone.
Yeah.
Sick burn number one. Let's chuck it right up.
Poor John.
I know. Well, okay. First of all, in this relationship, he allows himself to be abused.
Yeah.
He could walk away, especially after what has been perpetrated between the Reichenbach fall and the empty hearse.
Yeah.
Like, when Sherlock shows up again, he has every right to walk the F away. But it's Sherlock, and you feel special when you're around Sherlock, so why would you? But he's not gay. He's not gay. He just wants to be around him.
Yeah.
And, you
it's
know.
It's called friendship, man.
Yeah. Oh?
It's
called a bromance.
Is that what it's called?
I would say bromance.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's friendship.
Okay. That is friendship. Spending all this time together, going on adventures, sharing tea.
Spending your life with them, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's friendship.
Yael and Megan are friends for life.
I wish I knew how to quit you, Sherlock. I wish I knew.
Oh, I'm sure that there's got to be a broke back Sherlock somewhere.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
Or a
on
Sherlock
Tumblr.
Mountain. Yeah. Totally.
On the sick world of Tumblr.
Sick, sad Tumblr. So, I loved this sequence. So,
yes.
Yeah. So, first of all, John goes back to Mrs. Hudson and lets her know that he's proposing to his girlfriend, and she's kind of like, oh, like that's so lovely, but also disbelief. And we get a sense of how long it's been. It's been 2 years. 2 years, and John has completely fallen off the face. Mm-hmm. He hasn't really been in touch with Mrs. Hudson. Kind of rude, but, you know.
Understandable.
Everyone grieves in their own way.
Yeah.
Well, and he even told her when they were visiting Sherlock's grave, he's like, I can't go back there, you know, not for a while. Mm-hmm. And so, but I didn't think it would be 2 years. But
well,
yeah.
We waited 2 years. We were also mourning for 2 years.
Oh, yeah. I guess the world moved along at the same pace as Sherlock. I didn't even think about that. Didn't think about that. I was like, oh, it's been 2 years. It has been 2 years. Dang. So he goes to this very nice restaurant in an attempt to propose to Mary. And Sherlock waltzes in and he concocts this elaborate disguise. And he's like, oh, isn't John going to be so pleased? He's going to laugh so hard when I reveal myself. I'm so clever. And he does the eyeliner, the terrible eyeliner mustache. Just like, it's just gross looking.
Yeah.
And it's so funny, too, because, you know, John doesn't even acknowledge him. You know, he's just the waiter. And so Sherlock's like taken aback, like, ah. He didn't notice my surprise.
Yeah, I'm so clever. I am being really clever here, and no one's around to see it.
That's exactly what he was thinking, too. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Acknowledge me.
Acknowledge me. So he actually gets the champagne, and he comes back. And I'm like, no one in this restaurant is noticing that there's just a new waiter? Nope.
Nobody's complaining about the stuff he stole?
Yeah. Like, there's a guy somewhere being like, very nice man, took my tie, had a tie, no, nothing. And Mary gets there, and John is, like, stammering over his words, and we'll get more into the characterization of Mary in a second, but I personally liked her a whole bunch. He's trying to get the words out, and Sherlock whisks off his glasses, and he says, you know, like, an old friend, perhaps? And John looks at him, And I'm just like, oh my God, he is going to sock him in the face.
That's what I thought too. I was like, oh, Sherlock is about to get punched.
Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for him to swear. And I'm like, I know that's not like BBC One style. That's not PBS Masterpiece Mystery style.
We did see them kind of swear later on.
Yes. And cough. Yes. very, very cute and
adorable.
Fun. Yeah. But John is like shaking. And I feel like almost like, oh my God, his PTSD is going to come back.
Right.
Or it has come back. And he's just distraught. Like, how were you guys feeling seeing him like that? I felt so bad for him.
I did too. I was sitting here like, I knew it was a bad plan from the get-go. You know, trying to be funny, you know, trying to be clever with it. But honestly, it's like, you have no idea how much you being gone hurt your friend, how much your death hurt your friend. And like he said, you know, allowing him to grieve for 2 years. Like, and it's just like, and then popping up and going, surprise! That's not the best way to ease him back into it.
I spent the entire time just waiting for the punch.
Yeah.
I don't think I heard a single word because I was going, hit him.
Hit his dumb face.
Yeah,
hit his
ottery
face.
So smart can be so stupid.
I mean, it's like I think Mary said later on, she's like, you don't understand human nature, do you?
Right.
And he's like, human, no. Nature, no. Yeah. Or nature, no. Human, no. And he tackles him to the ground and is just ready to slaughter him.
He's like throttling.
Yeah, and smash cut to another restaurant.
Oh, so this was a brilliant sequence.
Wonderful sequence. And like, you know, Mark Gatiss scripted this episode. Normally I'm kind of lukewarm on his Sherlock episodes, and I thought this was easily his best one.
Yeah.
Some of his finest work I've ever seen. Really well-paced. And honestly, a big departure for how this show flows. Like, every other episode has been a straight-up mystery. You know, even the pilot where we're meeting our characters is still a mystery that we're solving. And here, we don't really get any firm mysteries. We have this terrorist plot, but we don't have, like, something like a real, like, oh, man, I don't know how he did that until halfway through the episode when we see this guy get on this train and then not reappear.
I really like the way this episode was written. I really like, I think, most of his episodes. I think that he has this different style that is just so fascinating to watch and to see. And I think that this episode specifically, at least the first half of it, was, we know we made you wait for 2 years. Here are all the things you've been asking and annoyed about, and we want to deal with it because we do care. Because we only get 3 episodes a season to please you.
Yeah. But at the same time, refusing to give any firm answers.
Oh, of course.
Right. You know, even when we get our real reveal later on, beyond all the fake reveals, that one where Sherlock and Moriarty kiss was so goddamn funny.
That was the best.
I nearly fell off my couch.
I believed 100% that was the real one.
Yes. That is the real one. And I just love how, like, Moriarty's giggling. Yeah.
They're both giggling. Like, and Sherlock's
shut
like,
up.
Blowing. Oh, I almost hit the mic.
Yeah. He's like, come on, I'm trying to do this. So funny. But yeah, it was very cleverly structured. We didn't get any firm answers, but at the same time, all of our questions do have answers.
Right.
It's just, do we choose to believe them or not?
Yes.
So we go to the second restaurant. Sherlock starts to actually explain it, and John's like, no, I don't care how. I don't care how.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to know is why. Why didn't you tell me? Because it seems like everyone else seems to know. How many people know? And it was Mycroft and Molly. And 25, what did he call them?
Like 25 operatives?
Tramps. No, he called them tramps. Like, as if he was like the other woman who had just been jilted. And he's just been sleeping around with all these people who know how he was alive. And I felt his pain. Felt it deep. What did you think, Marissa?
I loved the smash cuts between. Because, as you said, this was a different type of paced episode compared to the other past episodes where there's, you know, single one crime. But I think for a return episode coming back after two years, it was really fast-paced with the editing and all the story. It really strung us along, but it kept our attention throughout the whole thing and, like, the fast pace from here to here and even, like, when you, we'll get to it, but on the train, you know, that was resolved quickly, too. So, like, everything was so fast-paced, and it had beginning, middle, and end. But the return of Sherlock, I thought it was interesting for his character to, like, play it off as in a comedic way. And yeah. That doesn't really, that seems out of character for Sherlock, because we know he's such a serious guy, and then he's taking a serious thing and making it funny. I thought that was interesting. But I love the play on with Sherlock and Watson when they're finally back together, and just they're already at each other's throats, and you can see the chemistry.
Yeah.
And I love how they just, when they're finally back together and then they separate again, you can, they're back in each other's lives, but you can hear them and they can, like, think what each other's feeling and talking about them. And I loved how they played that out.
Yeah. No, it was definitely like a twisty, turny ride. And frankly, I wasn't surprised that they went for comedy, because, like, he is a smart ass.
Yeah, like, but yeah. I agree with Marissa that it was very out of character for him to do, like, comedic, like the French waiter.
The
was
French
very,
thing was a
it
bit.
Was, it was very, like, you know, sitcom-y comedy, and that's not Sherlock.
That's not Sherlock.
That's not Sherlock the show, and that's not Sherlock the character.
But we're also talking about the relationship between Sherlock Holmes and John Watson, and he sees this, like, or at least the Sherlock that we saw in this episode, he sees what happened almost as a prank. Like, he's pulling a prank right now with the costume, but then he's also treating his whole disappearance like a prank. He, on some level, thinks that John is going to be amazed and thrilled and, like, you bugger! And, like, you know, like shove him and be like, how did you do that? Where did you go? Instead of the actual gravity of the situation.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know. I'm willing to forgive it, if only because it made John's pain that much more real.
Mm-hmm.
And we needed to see it exacerbated, and we needed Sherlock to see it and understand it. And it really would take something as obtuse as playing this prank in this restaurant and thinking that he's going to get applause for it to actually sink in that, wait, this isn't the reaction that I expected.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I forgive it personally.
Interesting.
Yeah. So John refuses to go back and to forgive him, and he kind of storms off. And Mary says she'll talk him down. She'll get him to understand, you know. So in the meantime, Sherlock takes on a new partner in the form of Molly.
Poor Molly.
Poor sweet Molly.
Every time Molly is on screen throughout this entire series, usually I'm just sitting there going, Molly.
I just want the best for her. And, I mean, apparently she's got it. She's moved on, people, okay?
Yeah.
She's moved on.
I love that interaction, though. When Sherlock went to ask her, like, you know, solve mysteries, and then she's like, have dinner.
Yeah.
It just goes to show where their levels are at with her.
I know, but she's already married. She's married, and she's still... Okay, fine. She's engaged.
That could engaged. Be, you know, that if Sherlock was like, you know, Molly, I think we should have dinner, that engagement would end right then and there.
But she's moved on. I can't think of a single thing about her or her fiancé that would ever trigger that she still
not,
has feelings for
not
Sherlock.
Not like he and Sherlock have anything in common.
Nothing
whatsoever.
In common. I mean,
the difference is really...
Yeah, like, let's count
like
the differences.
Day.
Okay,
night and day.
Sherlock has black hair. Molly's fiance has coal-colored hair, okay? Sherlock is tall and thin. You know, this guy, he's...
gangly.
He's gangly. He's lanky, and, you know, he has kind of a height problem, right?
He does.
You know, Sherlock wears coats and scarves, and this guy...
Is cold
all the time.
You know, the one thing... This guy is a little bit young, isn't
yeah.
he?
Oh, yeah.
And Molly like... is not... She's like Sherlock's age. He seems a little young for her.
I don't know. I didn't pick up on a huge age difference. Maybe like
eight years max.
8 years max. And I know that's not small, right. But I'm like, that. It's not like he's in his early 20s. I mean, if you think about, okay, back when she was dating Moriarty, You know, like
they were on the same age and height.
Oh no, he always read so much younger to me.
Did he?
Yeah, he always read to me as like a 24-year-old wunderkind.
Well, when we saw him almost make out with Sherlock, I realized that their age is very much closer.
Yeah. It made more sense. It made more sense.
Maybe he just doesn't work out with Molly. He works out with Sherlock.
I guess so. Okay, I'm just.
I did really like how when Sherlock was asking her if you know she wanted to essentially be his sidekick. That it was very much like asking someone out to dinner. It was to Sherlock asking somebody to solve mysteries with him is as
solve
intimate.
Crimes.
Yes, solve crimes, fight crimes. Doing that is to him like what really close people do.
Yeah. That's a relationship to Sherlock. Mm-hmm. It is a relationship, yeah.
It's, yeah, friendship. Deep, meaningful, loving friendship.
Platonic friendship.
Okay. Sherlock is platonic.
It is. Okay. Just going to take a quick second, talk to the folks about iTunes. People, thank you for downloading this podcast or watching it on YouTube, streaming it on your devices. You rock. Go you. AfterBuzz TV has the best fans in the entire world. How do I know? They've been asking for a Sherlock podcast for years. And then what happened? We effing delivered. Holy crap.
I've been asking it for years.
Yeah. Marissa Serafini has had the ear of our executive producers, and she has toiled night and day for you, the people, to make this happen. And finally it did. What can you do to pay back her time, her sweat, her tears, her sacrifice? We don't want your money. We just want a little of your time. Go to iTunes, slap the show with a rating. I love 5-star ratings. It's a full bar, you know. There's 5 of them. I like it. But hey, don't lie to yourself. Don't do it if that's not what you believe. But if you don't believe that, maybe you should rethink leaving a rating.
If you don't believe that, you should really re-listen to this.
You should really re-listen to the podcast, all the funny bits, all the thoughtful bits, all the stuff about the camera work. It's pretty good. Leave a rating, leave a review. It's super important. It's crucial. I'll tell you why. It's the only way that this podcast gets ranked on iTunes and on AfterBuzz TV, okay? We want to be the number one Sherlock podcast on iTunes. We got a long way to go. There's a whole bunch of them. We need your support. We also want to be the number one show on AfterBuzz TV. I think we can make it happen, people, because Sherlock has the best, most dynamic fans,
yeah.
I think, out of any show on television. You're so passionate. Show us the passion. Let us know what you think of the show. And yeah, we would love to keep doing it. Yeah. Only 3 episodes this year. Hopefully we'll get more before 2016.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Rumor is. We will get more around December.
What?
So soon?
A Christmas special? Christmas special?
I doubt it would be a Christmas special.
That'd be
awesome.
Are you
playing games with me, Yell Teagle?
No.
Where did you hear this? Where is this rumor coming from?
Because I know they're signed for a series 4.
I will find the articles and definitely tweet them out.
Please yeah. do. Please
yeah.
do.
We'll so make sure that here, give there. The people and spell the name out.
I will definitely so, spell it
so,
out.
So give them your Twitter handle right now, just in case, for whatever reason, they don't finish this podcast. Why would you do that?
If you want to see the article that I claim I have read, you should be following at Yael Teagle. That's YaelTygiel. That's all of it. Okay. On Twitter.
All right.
And you're sure this is an article and not wishful thinking? You're not playing with us?
I definitely don't think I would have made that up.
Okay.
And I wouldn't have picked December if I was going
to
make it up.
I tend to make things up when I don't know. So I always want to double check.
Megan, you're live on the air. The people know your secret.
No.
Be careful.
I will also tweet out if I can't find the article and I lied.
Okay.
I will let everyone know that I made a mistake.
Okay. Everyone unfollow Yael if she's
like, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I deserve that.
Okay. So back to the show. Okay, we need to talk about, we have a big new person in our lives. It was a dramatic entrance for some. Other people found her to be warm. Let's talk Mary. How are we feeling? What are we thinking? Let's open the room for discussion.
Why don't you begin?
Okay, personally, I found her to be warm and charming, and she kept up with John, and she also, she needled him when he needed it. She pushed him in the direction that she knew he wanted to go. She was very supportive, and she went right to Sherlock when he was in danger, when he was about to get burned to death, and she helped save him. I thought that rocked.
Well, what I really liked, I hope that they keep her, or, you know, obviously, you know, with the next episode, I think she's here to stay, but I really liked her too. I haven't seen it either, okay. But I saw the preview.
Okay.
I saw the preview for it, so we can talk more about that at the end of the show.
I know what it's called.
But I liked her. I thought she was very, very sweet and, you know, very, very, she doesn't, you know, she doesn't put up with any nonsense. And what I liked was when she got the message about John, she figured out what kind of code it was.
Yeah.
Like before, you know, before Sherlock ever saw it, she's like, this is the kind of code it is. Like, what do we need to do?
Oh man, now I kind of don't trust her. Is that okay?
Marissa, what do you think about Mary?
I thought that was cool that Mary picked that up because, and then, so it makes me think that maybe she might be a part of something. I don't know, but she's smart and John knows how to pick her woman.
I was going to say, yeah, I hope that means she's just clever. I don't want her to be evil.
I don't want her to be evil, but at the same time, here, I want to hear what Yael has to say and then I'm going to speak my second piece.
All right. I don't trust Mary. At all.
Oh, shoot.
You think she's doing what Moriarty did with Molly?
I think that there's something beneath whatever this exterior is of a warm, welcoming, charming woman.
Mm-hmm. She's too good to be true?
Not just that she's too good to be true. When Sherlock does his real quick deduction, I paused, watched it, read everything with a friend of mine. We took notes. The one thing that stood out that didn't make a lot of sense because there was nothing to stand behind it.
Yeah.
Liar.
Oh, snap. Mm.
Liar is there. It's nice and big in the center. Everything else made sense. Stuff
right.
Like, you know, she's a liberal Dem and she's, you know.
And, you know,
only
like,
child,
it's,
yeah.
It's a clue
child,
yeah. Hiding in plain sight for the eagle-eyed fans who want to pause because they threw up so much information at once, you might miss it.
Yeah.
And she knew what the code was.
Oh,
she was
no.
All too happy to see Sherlock show up instead of being pissed off that he basically almost re-crippled his friend, her fiancé.
She also is the person who meets Sherlock for the first time. I know she's heard stories about him. She's heard what he's like.
Yeah.
Meets him for the first time and is like, you know what? I like you. I'm going to be nice to you. I'm going to chat
with you. And no one likes Sherlock.
No one likes Sherlock.
Oh, my God. She is a wolf in very nice sheep's clothing.
I'm sorry to say it. I don't trust her.
Snap.
Poor John.
Yeah.
I didn't want to sway everyone, but I just...
You wanted to sway everyone.
I didn't. I really liked having the opposite opinion.
Okay.
But I think we should... We shouldn't be so trusting, Sherlockians.
Aww.
We shouldn't be so trusting.
Boo! I wanted to have someone nice for once.
There's Let John be happy!
Yeah, he deserves it.
Not with that mustache, he did not.
That's true, but she didn't like
Maybe
it.
Maybe that's what the way Liar came up. She had been lying to John about the mustache.
That's true. She had been lying to John about the mustache.
Way to flip-flop there, Matt.
Listen, I'm going to make it very clear. I now have doubts. But I would love for her to be normal and sweet and caring and great.
Well, we'd all love for her to be that. I just don't think she is.
Mm, okay.
feel free to send hate mail to my Twitter.
Great. So, yeah, that's at Yael.
Yes, all those letters.
Okay, so we have some a bit of a debate here about the nature of Mary. You know, I hope that she's great. I hope that it all works out. We do have a wedding later this season, and I'm sure we're going to get something significant happening there. So finally, we get some scenes with Watson and Holmes alone again.
Mm-hmm.
This is after the burning, after Sherlock saves him. And like, okay, am I the only one who for a hot second thought I saw Mycroft there when the kid starts screaming and then someone grabs the kid and is like calming them down? It looked like Mycroft to me.
No, I think that was just her dad.
Okay, because he had the mole and he had the nose. And Mark Gatiss is many things. He is a man with a prominent nose. It is the most prominent nose this side of Richard Armitage. Or I'm talking about Richard Armitage in the actual Hobbit films. And I don't know. I saw that and then it didn't pay off later. So I was like, oh, I'm probably
Maybe
wrong.
Not.
Yeah. So they're finally alone together, and it's like, it's great to see them together and to have, you know, Watson kind of like listening to Holmes natter on about the case and like ask about details and start figuring stuff out. And it's like, oh, the gang's back.
Yeah.
It's not perfect, but they're back. And they're investigating this terrorist plot. I'm like, okay. As we get deeper in the episode, I'm like, okay, so we're doing V for Vendetta this week.
I thought that too. I was so excited. Well, when it showed, you know, what they were doing, they were burning a Guy Fawkes effigy. I was like, oh, okay, that like V for Vendetta then, because yep. that actually still is a tradition.
Yeah.
To do that, to burn someone in effigy every November the 5th. And then, you know, when they started talking about the train and everything too, I was kind of like, this all seems very familiar.
I expected Natalie Portman to pop out. Yeah. Just saying.
She was going to be in the train with a lever, yeah. And he was just going to be lying there with roses. Yeah.
And Sherlock's like, Scarlett don't
Carson's.
Do it.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Or no, it would have been Lestrade in this case. If you
That's
think.
True.
If you're doing a perfect
We're doing perfect
map
parallels.
Over. Right. But instead, we've got Sherlock and Dr. Watson. Mm-hmm. They're stuck in this train, bomb about to go off, and it looks like it's all over for our daring duo. Sherlock knows many things, but he does not know how to disarm a bomb. And,
which I don't believe.
I don't believe it.
Really?
No.
But he's like the master of deduction. He's not necessarily... Well, okay, fine. You deduce when you're solving a bomb, or you're disarming
a
bomb. Yeah, and he loves puzzles.
Yeah.
I have to admit, too, I was like, of all the things to not know and not call the police and go down here, of all the things to not know, why?
See, I thought it was so funny.
It was. It was hilarious. It was hilarious. And I think we needed a little bit of levity. And it was really fun to see them go back and forth. And he's like, well, why don't you know how to solve it? You were in the army. I was a doctor.
And a soldier, as you like reminding us all the time.
No, I love the line, go to your mind place.
Yeah. That was so funny. Yeah. And he's like, what, you think I just have disarming a bomb just stuck in there somewhere? Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay. Maybe. Let me check.
That's why it was so surprising that he didn't.
Yeah. Or so we thought.
Yeah. Can we talk about how he disarmed the bomb?
There's an off switch.
Since when?
See, I and that, so that was TV. Just such a simple out. And that was such a simple resolution to something. You know, I thought that was a quick fix.
Yeah, I thought he was going to do something with the timer. And it's like, the day is saved because I cut the red something. Wire or something
gonna,
like that.
I'm going to say this, and I may catch flack for it, but I feel like that's a Stephen Moffat influence of just like, it doesn't matter if it's an easy out as long as the audience is having a good time and it makes sense within the story.
That is very much a Moffitism.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if that's like, that's his fingerprints on the show. And who knows?
Although now that you say that, actually, even with the whole, you know, story on how Sherlock survived, because we cut away from the bomb for a little bit to show how he actually survived.
Or how he's telling Anderson.
And how he's telling Anderson how he actually survived. And Anderson is like, I'm not impressed. And then starts deconstructing it, going, wait, that doesn't make any sense. If, you know, if Watson had been standing a couple of feet over to the left, this whole plan wouldn't have worked. And it goes back to that whole thing where it doesn't really matter how, it matters that he's back. And
so, sorry, that's the thing about this episode, that there were these three different theories, and I personally don't believe any of them, and I'm satisfied because, you know what, everyone had these theories, and I feel like they went and read everyone's theories online. And we're like, let's put little bits and pieces. Everyone will be happy, and no one really cares.
Yeah, I mean...
And honestly, even if they hadn't, no matter what explanation they did, no matter what they did...
Yeah. The fans would have said, I did better. My idea was better. What do you think, Marissa?
Like I said, I thought it was an easy fix, but I didn't mind it. Yeah. And it went along with the storyline, but I thought it was interesting how they showed his revelation of like how how he survived right before how he's gonna die again. And I loved how they just took that, and it wasn't to Watson, but it showed the audience how he survived. And even though he wasn't really explaining it, it was still an exposition for us.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically, it's their way of saying, look, and I think we've already said this, but just like, whatever we say, you know, it doesn't matter whether you believe it or whether you buy it or whether you like it. The fact is, he did survive. It did require a conspiracy. Mm-hmm. It did require Mycroft, Molly, and 25 people. What story is really going to impress you or make you happy? Just be glad that he's back. And I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thrilled to have him back.
I think that's why I've decided to accept that none of those stories are true.
Okay.
I've decided none of those are the real story.
I don't know.
I think the third one's more real.
I think the third one might be real.
Nope.
I think the third one has more weight to it because it's honestly just Sherlock shrugging and going, it was just a magic trick. You know, there's nothing more to it than...
Seen from a play.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's it.
Whatever. None of them are right.
It's also the only one that comes from his lips.
How dare you use logic?
That's true.
This is a show about a guy who understands
logic. Sherlock Holmes has never lied before.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Rule one, Sherlock lies.
I don't think that's how that goes.
Nope. Wrong show.
Wrong show.
That actually was when after I finally watched season two, I sat down and started thinking, I was like, how is he going to survive? Like, because the only thing I can think of is that the TARDIS would literally fly in and save him.
Well,
it was not a fixed point in time. The doctor could intervene.
As everyone who sent me Hulock over the break.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That thing freaks me out.
Yes.
The mapped faces onto wrong bodies. It just looks
creepy.
So creepy.
Wait, what? What
okay.
is this?
So what they did, they made this Doctor Who and Sherlock crossover, like 8-minute short film. And don't get me wrong, it's really impressive. What they did is really impressive. You don't necessarily see the seams, but they rotoscope out, they take clips from Doctor Who and Sherlock of the Doctor and Sherlock Holmes, uh-huh. and then place them into each other's shows. But then they'll put different faces. They'll put like a Sherlock line from like season 2, episode 1 on top of a body from season 1, episode 3. And it just looks creepy.
It's really creepy. I mean, I'm impressed with what they did.
Yeah.
All the fans, everyone who's Hulocked is super excited and it's great.
Yeah.
It's just terrifying to look at.
Is it the Uncanny Valley
thing? It is the Uncanny Valley. Because you see it and it looks real, but you know it's fake. It's so creepy.
It's really creepy.
I'm going to have to YouTube that when I get home.
YouTube it. It's link very out. Impressive.
I definitely couldn't make it through the first, like, 3 minutes. It was giving me
nightmares. How long is it?
It's like eight minutes okay. long. I watched, like, 5 minutes. I couldn't anymore.
It was creepy.
It's so creepy. anyway, so we're left with this lingering question at the end of the show. Who kidnapped John? Why? What's the purpose? And we were left without knowledge, and we see this guy sitting alone in his room watching footage of Sherlock saving John. And I couldn't tell. I mean, it's probably neither of them, but it looked like either Patrick Stewart in a wig or Bill Nye.
I think probably neither of them is not this right, what you meant. It's neither of them.
Great. Okay.
I would love to see Bill Nye in the show.
Me too. That would
He's
be
a
rad.
Wonderful actor. And Patrick Stewart. I could see them both in any
Oh, my God. Yeah. Patrick Stewart in this show? Too great.
Awesome.
And how awesome was it to see Sherlock in the hat and he comes out?
You like being Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah. Big smile on his face. The smartass.
Yeah.
Back to the media.
Yeah.
Everyone knows he's alive.
Yeah. What did you think was going on when he's investigating Anderson's fake crime and he's got this other voice in his head? Was that Mycroft's voice in his head?
I thought it was John's voice.
It was John's voice. Oh. Yeah, it sounded like John because this was right after their confrontation. And so that's clearly still affecting Sherlock. And But, you know, of course, he doesn't want to act like what other people say, like it matters to him.
No,
so
yeah, and that's what I was trying to say earlier when... When they meet up and then they, you know, disagree and whatnot. But when John Watson, he's doing all those, It looks like physicals are when he's with his patients and whatnot.
Yeah. Oh, but the undescended testicle.
Yeah. He's thinking of Sherlock, and he thinks that Sherlock's back into his life. So he's thinking of Sherlock. And then when Sherlock is off doing his mystery, he's thinking of John. So, yes, they've been apart, but now they're together again. They're still thinking of each other, and that goes and reflects the relationship.
That's the friendship. It's a friendship.
Their friendship is a relationship.
Whatever, that sequence, I just want to talk about how great that was. Mm-hmm. It really just speaks to the pace of the show and the cinematography and the editing. Everything about it is just so amazing. Mm-hmm.
They cover a lot of ground really quickly.
Yeah.
And they
throw in some dirty words.
Yeah. No, they make
this pot.
Yeah. They make their points really, really eloquently, and they use every single element of making a TV show to do it. It's not just the script. It's not just the performances. Every single thing goes into making a point and really efficiently telling a great story.
Yeah.
And I just love this episode. Anyone else have any points you want to discuss? I think we kind of covered most of it.
Do we have any idea who this might, you know, this person at the end might be? Because I'm sad to say I'm not familiar with very many of the Sherlock actual books, but I can't think of anybody bigger than Moriarty.
Moriarty was his greatest foe.
Arch nemesis.
Yeah, so it may be a foe from the past. It may be a wholly new invented one.
It's Moriarty's brother.
Well, I mean, we met Sherlock's parents this episode.
Yeah.
Moriarty's dad. Maybe that was like BS Moriarty, and this is the real Moriarty.
The whole Sherlock series in general, Sherlock has many foes. Moriarty was his most known, biggest enemy, but like throughout the whole series, there are a bunch of people that are actually out to get Sherlock.
Have you read the books?
It could be anything. No, but I am very familiar with a lot of Sherlock stories.
Okay.
I plan to read the books.
Yeah, let's bone up on some Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
Love him.
Sir Doyle.
Feel free to send that to me, audience.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I think that's going to be all for this week. I want to thank everybody for downloading this podcast. Thank the panel for joining me. We're going to be here all season long, only 2 more weeks.
Oh, man, what a season.
I know.
Any predictions?
Oh, yeah, let's talk predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Okay, I'm just going to ask this question right now. Who here on this panel has seen the next episode?
I have.
Okay. So
I can't make any predictions?
I mean,
I won't make a prediction that I still hold on to that doesn't have anything to do with the second episode.
Beautiful.
Please. My prediction, because I didn't watch the third episode, just to not ruin anything for myself. My prediction is still that Mary is evil by the end of this season. And that the villain is Moriarty's brother. Those are
dun,
my predictions.
Dun, dun.
Okay. Megan Salinas.
Well, I saw the preview for the next episode. Okay. Would you like me to tell you a little bit about that, or do you just want it completely?
I would love to be spoiler-free, but the fans may want to know, so go ahead.
Okay. The preview for the next episode, it looks like John and Mary are going to get married. And a lot of people are like, oh, do you think Sherlock's going to be his best man?
Right.
And it kind of looks like there's someone at the wedding is in danger of dying, like their life is in danger. And Sherlock has to solve a mystery in order to save said person. That's sort of what it looked like. You know, it was a very short preview.
Okay.
But my prediction is that he's going to make a very interesting best man speech.
Great. I'm definitely down for that. Marissa, anything?
Well, I think, man, this could be really far-fetched. But at the end, with that one random guy watching the video, we keep hearing Sherlock saving John, and the line is like, John, John, and John. And it made me think that maybe he's not after Sherlock, maybe he's after John.
That's interesting.
Maybe.
Yeah, I hadn't thought
about that. We hear John constantly being said over and over again. Maybe he's after John.
Interesting.
That's true. I mean, yeah, who knows? Maybe the doctor made some enemies.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Or he could be a serious, you know, hostage situation. You know, he's connected to Sherlock. Maybe in the end he wants John to get to Sherlock, but maybe right now,
maybe he hates
initially he's after John.
Yeah. Well, I mean, John, he was in the army. He might have let someone die who was important to this guy, or not been able to save him. We don't know. That's an interesting prediction. I hadn't thought about that. Personally, I hate to do it, but I'm going to jump on the Mary's probably bad bandwagon.
Sorry.
I'm going to make a prediction and say that we see Irene Adler before the end of this season.
I hope so. She's so much fun. Yeah. I would love
that. I also hope so.
I hope so very, very much. Love her. That's all I'm going to do because, honestly, I want to be surprised. I don't even want to think about what's going to happen this year. Thank you guys so much for downloading the podcast. Folks, tell them where they can find you. Yael Teagle.
Again, on Twitter at Yael Teagle, YaelTygiel, and on the web at Yael.tv, YaelTV.
All right. Megan Salinas.
You can follow me on Twitter at TheManguin. That's TheManguin. And if I don't get back to you right away, I'm sorry. Twitter's not working on my phone right now. So as soon as I get that fixed, I'll be back on it.
All right. Marissa Serafini.
You can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at SerafiniTV.
Okay, and you can find me on Twitter at Matt Lieberman. That's MattLieberman. I'm also here on AfterBuzz TV on a whole bunch of stuff. I won't remember everything, so I'm just going to throw out a bunch of them. Almost Human with Megan Salinas. We got Justified, Sleepy Hollow ending this week, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. also with Megan Salinas, Lost Girl coming up with Yael, Doctor Who Classics hopefully coming back sometime this winter, Justified, Helix, if you haven't seen it, it's awesome. Totally check that out. Banshee on Cinemax. And if you're in LA and you love live comedy, I perform the first Sunday of every month at the IO West Theater on Hollywood Boulevard, 6366 Hollywood Boulevard, as a member of DJ Fawcett. Thank you guys so much for downloading the podcast. We'll see you next week. Good night.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.
Thank you for watching AfterBuzz TV on YouTube. For more of your favorite after shows and interviews, subscribe to our channel here. And be sure to share your opinion on the episode in the comment section below here. We'd love to see what you guys are buzzing about. Thanks again. Buzz you later.